Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Welcome to this Monday postcast. I'm Maddie Plough and I'm joined by Nick Watts in the studio. We've also got Tom Siegel and Paul Binfield from Paddy Power on the line as well. Watsy, first off, you've sharpened up your act today, looking very smart after last week.
Yeah, I got told off last week. It's a bank holiday, so I dressed down. Forgot about the podcast completely. Was it shorts,
Watsy?
It was a T-shirt, and quite a scruffy looking T-shirt. And Rob Watson admonished me and said I wasn't allowed back until I got a shirt and a haircut. So I've got both for this week.
I'm letting the team down today, with me trainers. Tom, how are you? Good weekend?
Oh yeah, pretty good. I'm in my shorts, but then you can't see me. Which is good.
You can get away with anything.
Which is good, yeah. Yeah, it was all right. Yeah. No problems, yeah.
Binners, what about you?
Yeah, not too bad, Manny. I'm in shorts as well, and I saw you swinging. I saw you swinging on Twitter the other day, Maddie.
Uh-oh. Oh, I did have my driving range debut yesterday, yeah. But depending on which way you look at it, rather disastrous, but I'm just quite proud I managed to hit the ball.
Maddie, anyway. You're not one of those people that puts whatever you're doing on Twitter, are you?
Not usually, good. Tom. But, good. Got to start somewhere. Anyway, move on. Shall we talk about some racing? Why not? Coming up on today's show, we'll be looking back at Chester, Ascot, Lingfield, Leopardstown and Longchamp for the last few days. And we're going to look ahead to the Lockinge on Saturday at Newbury, of course. But first, we'll preview the Dante meeting. Lots of people's favourite meeting this at York, of course, which kicks off on Wednesday. First off, we'll look at the Duke of York Clipper Logistics Stakes. And Binners, have you got some betting on this one for us?
Yeah, we make Harry Angel a shade of odds on, Maddie. 10 to 11 favourite, 7 to 2 Brando, 9 to 2 Tasley, and it's 10 to 1 Bar.
Now, Watsy, I'll go to you first. There's been some big price winners of this in the last few years. Tasley 14 to 1, Glass Office 40 to 1, Tiddlywinks 25s, Prime Defender 20s, Utmost Respect 16s. Can anything get near Harry Angel?
I think if there's a time to beat him, it might be on his seasonal return. I mean, we saw Ascot last season. He's a very buzzy kind of horse, and I think it was Blue Point that did him on his first start last season. He's an interesting horse, isn't he? Because he's brilliant, he's explosive, he's great to watch. And it's just Ascot he seems to have a bit of an issue with, because all his four defeats, I think, in his career have come at Ascot. Mm. But he never runs badly there to suggest he doesn't like the track. I don't know why it is. It might just be coincidence. But to cut a long story short, he could possibly be vulnerable first time out, although I did think he matured as the season went on last year, became more tractable, more easy to deal with at the start, and you know, less buzzy. So if he does get away on terms, I mean, he's got quite a big advantage in the official ratings here, and I just love watching the horse, so I'd like to see him win. I think he can. Brando's the obvious danger, I think, probably ahead of Tasley. I'd expect him to see off Tasley. He did at Haydock last season. And yeah, he's got, you know, I just love watching Harry Angel, so I really hope he makes a good start to the season. I'd love to see him put his Ascot hoodoo to rest as well later on.
Mm, you mentioned Brando and Tasley. Obviously, Tasley's got some brilliant form on firm ground, but a lot of people think he prefers it softer. Tom, with or against Harry Angel?
Against. Nothing wrong with him. It's just price thing, isn't it, Maddie? 8-13 on his comeback with a penalty, with a Group 1 penalty.
Yeah, that too.
I don't like Brando at York. Don't know why. He ran terribly in this race last year. I honestly think Tasley has a chance of winning this. He won it last year. He's getting £5. I know Nick said he got wiped out by Harry Angel at Haydock. That was on heavy ground. Let's not forget he beat Harry Angel at Ascot afterwards. He is one all, I think, with that horse. I know Harry Angel went a bit nuts, but I think if ever he's going to beat him, it'll be at York, where he seems to run better anywhere than you know. He was brilliant in the race last year, didn't he? Won it by 2.5 lengths. He's also, I think, he's unbeaten at York. I know he lost on his debut, didn't he, at York? But he's won 2 races out of his 3 at York. I think Tasley's got everything going for him. And if he'll ever beat Harry Angel, it will be on Wednesday.
Am I making too big a thing about the ground then with him?
Yeah, I don't worry about the ground with him. He's run plenty of good races. I mean, his best form, you're undoubtedly correct, is on softer ground. But he was second to the Tin Man, wasn't he, in the Diamond Jubilee? And that was fast ground. Head of Lamato, Labrisa Breeze. That's good form too. So, look, Harry Angel is a classier horse. He's a better horse. But first time out at York, giving a penalty away, I think he's too short.
Okay.
Excellent. What about that? How was that? Was that good?
That was perfect.
Thank you very much.
we'll move on to you, Binners, for the final word.
I couldn't agree more with Tom, Maddie. I think Tasley's a big price to beat Harry Angel. Won the race last year. beat Harry Angel in the Champions Sprint at Ascot when he was, to be fair, ridden to beat Harry Angel, but and then got done by Labrisa Breeze. But 9-2 as opposed to 10-11, definitely.
Okay, moving on now to the Group 3 Tattersalls Musidora Stakes, which is also on the Wednesday. John Gosden's won the last three renewals of this race. He relies on High Garden here, who was behind Give and Take at Sandown last time. Binners, take it away with the show of betting, please.
Yeah, 2-1 High Garden for John Gosden, 7-2 Kaylee's Dream and LGR, 5-1 Give and Take, 8 Lubinka, and it's 16 the rest.
Brilliant. Okay, Tom, I was saying to Watsy before we went on air, actually, why do you think High Garden will reverse the Sandown form with Give and Take, if at all?
I don't. I don't understand the prices. I mean, it's one of those. I mean, look, trial races are trial races, and first runs of the season, you know, we've seen in the two guineas, in the French guineas, in all these races, the trials form is a little bit irrelevant in terms of trying to find a pecking order. Mm. But we're talking about prices here. Well, I don't understand why High Garden should be a shorter price than Give and Take, especially at York. I mean, traditionally, and it's not so much these days, but in small fields, it's quite nice to be on the pace, I think, at York. It has been traditionally, and not so much anymore because they switch all over the track and go all over certain places. But High Garden took ages to get going at Sandown last time. Now, it might have been she needed the run. It might have been the ground was too soft. I doubt it because she won on soft ground on her debut. Mm-hmm. But she looked, for me, for all the world, that like she wanted much further. She wanted a mile and a half now. This is still a mile and a quarter. It's at a York where I imagine, given the forecast, that we pretty quick ground.
Yeah.
I don't fancy her at all at the prices. I don't know whether Give and Take is the one to beat her, but I don't know. I didn't see enough from High Garden at Sandown for her to be a short price favourite for any race, let alone a Musidora.
Mm, I totally agree. Have you got anything at a bigger price that you think could be worth a shout?
To be honest, I haven't had a great look at the race. I thought Rafe Beckett's horse ran very well, didn't it, in the Lingfield Derby trial, the filly. But once again, it's only a maiden winner, and so I thought she was pretty short. I thought Lubinka's probably got a chance. Her form last year ties in well with a few of the good fillies around. She was sixth to Lawrence, wasn't she? She wasn't beaten far at all in the fillies mile. Maybe she's the value at the prices, but it's not a race I've studied that carefully, and I don't know much about the Frankel filly. Watsy might know more about her, El Tijar or whatever, but you have to say David Simcott had a similar filly win the French guineas yesterday, so wouldn't be ruling her out by any stretch of the imagination.
Is it Ed Vaughan's filly? I think he's got one in there. I looked at that horse. I thought she was quite
interesting. Brave Bear, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. I looked at her. Watsy?
Nothing to add, really, to what the boys have said. I don't really like the race from a betting perspective. I think they're right in High Garden being the wrong price. I didn't see any particular hard luck stories in that Sandown race to suggest why she should reverse the form. And as Tom said, both of her starts are coming cut in the ground, and she's a Nathaniel as well. So she might well not be quite suited as well to this kind of surface as she was earlier. So out of the two of them, I'd prefer Give and Take. There's a couple of unknown quantities in there, like you mentioned, the Simcott course as well, to throw into the mix. And it's not a race I can look at with any great kind of... not excitement, that's the wrong word, but from a punting perspective, I'm struggling to find an edge with this one.
Okay, Binners?
I think I'll go for Peter Chappell Hyams Lubinka, Maddie. He was sixth in the fillies mile, so that was very good form over a mile. She stepped up to a mile and a half last time, was an easy winner on the all-weather at Lingfield, and this race will tell us if she's good enough to go for the Oaks.
Excellent. Okay, moving on to Thursday now. We've got the Group 2 Betfred Dante Stakes. I quizzed the lads before we came on air about who was the last winning favourite. Bonus points to you if you can guess that now. Binners, take it away with the betting and I'll let you know who it is after.
Okay, well, it's 15-8 Roaring Lion, Maddie, 7-2 Cross Baton, 5 Mildenberger, 6 Wells Fargo and 10-1 James Cook.
Okay, interesting. So it was, in fact, authorised in 2007. So that's a long time to go without a favourite winning the race. Roaring Lion, Watsy, do you think he can do it?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I've been on these postcards a bit this spring, and I've been banging on about Roaring Lion a little bit. I thought he'd run well in the Guineas. He did to an extent. Mm. He finished fifth. I don't think I was any disgrace at all. John Gosden said beforehand that he thinks he wants the horse wants further. And he took a long time to commit into the race. And when he did, I thought he ran really well. Still showed a few quirks. He ended up on his own. He kind of hung left a little bit when it looked like he was going quite well and ended up fifth. I thought there's still plenty to take from that. We get the chance to see him now over a mile and two, which is what Gosden said he wants. And longer term, I'm not quite sure where the horse is going to go. I'm not sure he'd want a mile and a half, a mile and a two.
Breeder Jockey Club, maybe?
Well, possibly. So we're looking at this as a traditional kind of Epsom trial. Mm. I don't think he's an Epsom horse. I don't even know if he's entered. I think he probably isn't. But in terms of just looking at this race on its own, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him over a mile and two. He did run very well against Saxon Warrior in the Racing Post Trophy. That was only, three starts ago now. And he got a lot closer to Massar second time out this season than he did first time out. And, I think the step up in trip could make all the difference to him. And I think he's the one they've got to beat.
Okay, Tom?
I've got an apology. Got an apology for you, Watsy. I was very disparaging of your Roaring Lion thing on the postcast a few weeks ago. You were right. I was wrong.
Well, not that right, Tom. He didn't finish in the first three, so you wouldn't have got paid out.
Nah, but he ran a lot better than I thought he was going to run. He was not far behind Massa, was he? He nearly turned the tables. I think, if he'd maybe been drawn with the other ones, he might have turned the tables. So I think he's the form horse. Do I like the horse? Not really. Not really. I think he hangs. He's, does a lot wrong in his races. I'm interested in the Mark Johnson horse, Mildenberger. Yeah, I thought he was I thought he was pretty good at Newmarket. Took a long time to warm him up, but he reminds me of Permian, and I think they say he's like Permian. I thought the Johnson horse ran a cracker in the Trestavars, DXB. I think that went under the radar. Ella Calm ran really well in the Guineas. His three-year-old colts are going really well. I think he might be the one. The only thing that slightly puts me off Johnson's record at York is pretty dire for someone that trains 5 minutes down the road. I think it's 5 or 6%. I think it's his worst of any track in the country. He runs lots of horses at is York, unbelievably. But the ground will be fast. It's normally soft there, and these horses don't like the shifty ground at York when it gets soft. Don't really fancy any of the O'Brien horses. I don't know, is Gayath going to run? Judging by the market, doesn't look like he is.
Not sure. Don't think so.
It doesn't look like a great race. I wasn't that impressed with Cross Batten. The form of his Epsom race was given sort of a mixed thing, wasn't it? My Lord and Master got wiped out, but the XB ran okay. I don't know. I think Roaring Lion's the class and might win it, but he's not a horse I've got a lot of time for.
Okay.
What about Merlin Magic? I'd throw him in at a big price if he runs, because I thought he was really impressive in that Sandown race. I thought it was an Isha Cup. It was a handicap. He had a low weight, but I thought he was pretty good. But whether he runs or not, I don't know.
He's got good form with the likes of Savannah Star and Sam Gold. That race was a good race.
Yeah.
Binners, moving on to you.
How about a bit of White Mocha, Maddie, for Hugo Palmer? Second in the Craven, admittedly a long way behind Massar, but I think the horse will be well suited by this step up to 10. And it was interesting that Suffolk Sorcerer Hugo didn't run him in the 2000 Guineas.
The Suffolk Sorcerer, was that?
Suffolk
Jeez,
Sorcerer.
I've not heard that one before. Yeah, White Mocker, he beat Knight to Behold at Newbury, so that's obviously good form now. Moving on now to the Betfred Middleton Stakes. Coronet is in this race, who beat Maury, of course, to win the Ribblesdale last year. We're going to have a replay of that, perhaps. Binners?
Yeah, John Gosden seems to have a few favourites this week, doesn't he? We've got Coronet in here at 15-8, 7-2 Maury, 9-2 Smart Call, 5 Chain of Daisies, 8 Turret Rock for Jim Bulger, and it's 10 bar.
Okay, and what's your take on this one, Binners? Go to you first.
Okay, I'm very keen on Turret Rocks, Maddie. Admittedly, she was only 6 in the Mooresbridge Stakes, but she filled the same position on her seasonal debut last year and then won the Blue Wind Stakes at the Curra. And looking back at last year's form, her third in the Pretty Polly Stakes reads well.
Okay, brilliant. What's the Coronet? She couldn't do it for me in the St. Ledger last year when I tipped her up in the RFO, but do you think she can win this one?
Well, she's normally running over longer trips, isn't she? That's the concern for her. She's dropping back in trip here, and she looked like a real staying filly last season. She's got one good, really, really good piece of course form to her name. Of course, she's second in New York Stakes behind Enable. So she's run well at the track before. It's whether she can cope with them, you know, dropping down to a mile and two first time out. Again, at 15-8, it's quite skinny. I think I'd be looking to take her on with what, I'm not sure. But yeah, that would be tight enough for me at the prices, bearing in mind she probably does want another couple of furlongs.
Okay. Tom, you in agreement?
I think she's a class above the rest. It's just, as you say, the trip might be a thing for her. A lot will depend on the pace. If they go really fast, I think she'll probably win still. So I think she's a different class. But if not, maybe if the ground got really quick, Chain of Daisies from the front might be an interesting option for people, especially in running players. I think she'll go short at some stage. But for me, it's all about Coronet. She's totally different class if she's on her A game.
Okay, moving on now to Friday. We've got a cracking renewal of the Mason Bet Yorkshire Cup. Binners, how do they bet on this? Presumably Stradivarius is at the top of the market.
Absolutely correct, Maddie. 15-8, and then we go 6-1 Desert Skyline, 13-2 Max Dynamite and Torcedor, and it's 10 the rest.
Okay, Tom, we'll go to you first. Perhaps a little bit more depth to this race than some
isn't it? Yeah, it's a very good race, this. I'm in the process of trawling through the Ascot Gold Cup. I'm doing a price wise on it for the paper tomorrow. So I've been looking
at an early steer on that.
Well, not really. But I have been trawling through the videos of Stradivarius, Torcedor, and a few of the others, and Max Dynamite. I think Stradivarius is a very, very interesting horse for the Ascot Gold Cup. Mm-hmm. Whether he's an interesting horse for the Yorkshire Cup on his comeback at York at, what did you say there? Did you say 15-8 there, Binners? I'm not sure. It's the same.
Yep, 15-8, Tommy.
It's the the Suffolk Sorcerer. What are you then? What do you call yourself, Binners?
I'm the St. Ives Sorcerer.
St. Ives, blimey. Sorcerer. I didn't know anyone lived there anymore.
Yeah, afraid so.
St. Ives Sorcerer reckons that it's a 15-8. I'm not sure down at York first time out. I think, obviously, the plan for Stradivarius is the Gold Cup, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So Johnny G is always a target trainer. First time up, he was good last year, but it was only in a Beverly handicap off a mark of 78. He then went to Chester and got beaten, didn't he, in a handicap at Chester, yes, Stradivarius. Yeah. So, yeah, he improved as the season went on. My guess is that Ascot is the plan, whether he'll be fully wound up for this. It's the same as all the races we've done so far, Maddie. He's not a horse I would ever back a 15-8. I fancy him for the Ascot Gold Cup a bit. So
what price is he for that?
I think he's 5 or 6 to 1. He's nothing massive. But would you back him tomorrow at 15-8? I suppose you could back him there. If I think he's going to win the Ascot Gold Cup, then he's got to have a good chance of winning this. I'd be surprised if Torcedor ran. I don't know what the boys know, if they know anything about it. I like the horse a lot. I thought he was really impressive in the Sagaro last time. I thought they'd go straight from there to Ascot. If they come here, he's interesting. Willie Mullins is dynamite anywhere he goes, funnily enough. See what I did there? Max Dynamite
well
is
done,
his runner.
Yeah.
I like him as a horse, but he's an 8-year-old. Is he really going to beat Stradivarius? Might do. First time up, he's fit from hurdling. He just can't jump, so I'd throw out his hurdles form. The rest, maybe William Haggis's horse, call to mind. I think he's a bit better than he's shown. He's a very well-bred horse by Galileo. I think he'll enjoy the step up in trip. He just was a bit disappointing behind Defoe on his comeback. So, you know, he ran really well at Chantilly behind Ice Breeze.
He'd need to find a bit stepping up in trip, wouldn't he? But
well,
maybe he can.
You say that, but he beat Count Octave, didn't he, at Goodwood? And then he was second to Ice Breeze in the group race at Chantilly. Ice Breeze went on to beat Vazirabad, didn't he? So that might not have been as bad as we all think. If he needed his first run badly and it was soft ground, then he may, you know, he's 20-1, 16-1, or whatever Binner said, or whatever the St. Ives Strangler said. whatever he said. So I'd throw him in there as a potential.
Okay, brilliant. What's he?
I think Max Steinmeier's quite interesting here. It's like Tom said, ignore his hurdles form because he just doesn't seem to like jumping at all. So he's had a couple of runs this spring. Mm-hmm. He ran at Punchestown last time. Of course, Mullins was chasing the title then, so he's weeding out everything. I think if you go back to his flat form, obviously it's very smart. We've got good, really good form in the book and good course form as well because he won the Lonsdale Cup here a few years ago. And yeah, he is 8 years old, I think, but he is quite lightly raced at the same time. So I wouldn't put it past him. And I think it's easier for these stayers to, you know, they do tend to have more longevity about them. So I think he's quite interesting, you know, fit from the jumps against Stradivarius first time out, who may have bigger fish to fry at Ascot next month. So might just give him a little bit of an advantage. And I expect Desert Skyline to run a bit better than he did at Ascot last time as well. He's third, but quite a well-beaten third behind Torcedor. So I'd expect him to get closer. But, you know, for the win bet, I think Binner said 13-2 for Max Dynamite. That would do quite nicely for me.
Okay, the one I looked at was Marmello. Obviously, he went off joint favourite for the Melbourne Cup. Stuff didn't quite go right for him there, but what do you make of him? Do you just think it's a bit of a big ask?
Well, you've just thrown another one into the mix there. I think it just highlights what an open race this is. And, you know, there's various different angles you can take into it. And certainly wouldn't dissuade you, Madeline, from a little bit on that. But I'm going to stick with Max Dynamite. What can we call you? What rhymes with M? You can't be the sorcerer. You've got to be
the magician. What can I be?
Magician, or Madeline, you could go, Maddie the Magician.
Yeah, that's all right. I'm not sure I'll be pulling any magic tricks at York at this rate. Right, anything else we're looking forward to seeing at York? Your bet for the week. Binners, I'll go over to you again, the St. Ives Sorcerer.
Yeah, I like a horse called World Order for Declan Carroll, who did well with a couple of nice two-year-olds last season. On his debut at Doncaster, and that one's gone in again in the Lily Agnes, and you'd have to think that one's Royal Ascot bound, so I'm looking forward to seeing this one.
Okay, Tom?
I'm not sure, really. I've been having a big study up of the first two handicaps at York coming up on the first day. I'm a massive Tarentum Stour fan. I think he's really good when he's on a going day, and he does like York. I wondered whether he might bounce back from a bit of a disappointing run at Ripon on his comeback. He was really... Do you remember... Did he win? He won that big handicap, the Coral Sprint, at the end of the year, didn't he? And he's really pretty good at York. Now he's top weight and he's rated 103, and he's only £5 higher. And I wonder whether he might be my one.
Okay, Watsy.
I've got one for that handicap. I think you're on about, Tom. Or it's certainly the second race on the first day. I think Orion's Bow is a horse I was banging on about all the time last season. It just didn't happen for him. He moved to Tim Easterby's yard. I'll be amazed if Tim Easterby can't get to the bottom of him at some stage this season and win a nice handicap with him. He's really, really well handicapped. I think he's off a mark of 90. I think he's something like £7 or £8 below his last winning mark when he won a heap of decent races, finished second in the Stewards' Cup a few seasons back, and a really good comeback run. I think at Pontefract he finished third, hinted that he was on the way back. If it doesn't happen this time, it's going to happen soon with that horse, I'm sure of it.
When is he going to be jumping off that cliff?
Yeah, exactly. Roaring Lion or whatever he's called, and Orion's Bow. What do you think of his... I mean, I love that horse. I'm with you. I've been following him for years, but do you look at course form at York? Do you see it as an issue for horses? Because I'm a big believer that the ground there is tricky for a lot of horses. Some horses love it, some horses hate it. Orion's Bow's run, I think, twice there. I think he's beaten two horses in two big field handicaps. Ouch. He's been absolutely horrendous, because I know, because I've backed him both times, because I'm like you, I'm a massive fan of his, always have been. And I don't know, I mean, do you pay attention to that, or would you throw it out?
No, I would pay, you know, you're right to flag it up. It's just a horse. Once you get locked into following a horse, I think you just, you know, follow them, in, you know, as Maddie said, over a cliff. And, you know, I've watched him's mark being reduced and reduced and reduced. I think of the trainer that he's with who is, you know, brilliant with this kind of horse. And I look at that positive comeback run, and maybe for whatever reason, it just didn't happen for him last season whatsoever. And, you know, if he's turned over a new leaf and he's come back this spring and he's enjoying life again, then he's off a really good mark. So it's kind of for Wednesday, but kind of for the future as well. Even if it doesn't happen, then it is going to happen soon. I'm sure it is.
It's one of those, isn't it? You back him and he wins, and you don't back him and he finishes last. You know, or you back him and he finishes last, and you don't back him and he wins. He's one of those conundrum. I just don't know what to expect from him at York. But I like you. I think he's incredibly well handicapped.
Well, we'll have to see if both of you follow him again then. Right, so we'll just go for a quick break now, but then we'll get stuck in to Newbury on Saturday.
Check out Paddy's Rewards Club. Simply place 5 bets of £10 or more across any sport in a week, and you'll get a free £10 bet then next week. T&Cs apply. 18+. BGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the Monday Postcast. We've covered the week at York, and now we're going to talk about the Lockinge at Newbury. Guys, we've been moaning about this Miling division for a while now, saying it's not all that strong and there's not a lot of depth to it. Is Adib, or Adieb, lots of people pronounce it differently, the saviour for us for this division? What do we reckon, Watsy?
Yeah, quite possibly. Odds, two starts this season, two wins, two easy wins. He's the rising star amongst them, isn't he? This is a new test. It'd be interesting to see how he goes. It'd be interesting to see what's the market been as at the moment on the Lockinge.
Well, it's headed by Rhododendron and Limato, Nick, both 7-2 joint favourites. Then we go 5 Adib, 6 Beat the Bank, 10 Zabil Prince and Lancaster Bomber, and it's 16 the rest.
He mentioned Zabil Prince. I'm interested in him here. Bit of an odd market, though, isn't it? You've got Limato, obviously, who's used to racing at shorter trips. Rhododendron, who's been racing at longer trips. So it'd be interesting to see who turns up. Now you've heard the market, any more thoughts?
Yeah, I would give a small chance, each way chance, because it's 10-1, according to Binners, on Lancaster Bomber. He has had a run in Maidan, so he is fit. Mm. Admittedly, he didn't distinguish himself, but a lot of Aden horses don't first time back, and particularly in the desert, so I'd expect him to come forward. The forecast is really important to him, and it's encouraging for the week. There's no rain around, there's bright, hot sunshine. So the ground should be, you know, quite firm by the time we get to Newbury at the weekend. That's what this horse really enjoys. And, you know, you look back through his back catalogue from last season and some really good efforts on good to firm ground. But, you know, second to Barney Roy in the St James's Palace, just beating the length. And he's just one of those that goes under the radar, a little bit underrated.
That's because he's not won, though, in a while. Does that worry you? Can't get his head in front.
He's 4 years old now and they've kept him in training. You know, they could have pensioned him off, presumably, if he'd had enough at three, or, you know, sent him to become a stallion or whatever. But they've kept him in training. Like I said, he's had the recent run. I wouldn't be surprised if he outperformed himself and at 10-1 finished in the frame.
Excellent. Tom?
Well, going back to your intro, very good intro, Maddie, may I say, about the milers. I think it's a bit worrying if we've got Adayeb, Gelding, Beat the Bank, Gelding. All these Geldings at the top of the market here.
Limato. You know,
Limato. Mm. No, is he a Gelding? I can't remember.
Yeah.
He is. And Zabil Prince, another Gelding. Mm. So if they're not making stallions out of these horses, are they? So if they're running around winning our Group 1s, we're in a bit of a pickle here. I personally think that the one that is massively overpriced is Deauville, if he runs for Aidan O'Brien. I don't know if he's running. But his form when he was third to Ribchester at Ascot last year is as good as anything in the field, I think. I think you'll find that on Racing Post ratings, he's one of the top. And I thought he ran a blinder at Newmarket. The form,
Forest Ranger beat him,
and Forest Ranger won the other day. Fast ground is the key to him. A strongly run mile's the key to him. I think he's just a big price. I think he's one of those.
What price is he?
I think he's about 16-1, isn't he, Binners?
20-1 for you, Nick. Tom. Sorry.
20-1 for me, the Church Crookham swindler, or whatever you're going to call me. I think that's a massive price. I really do, because I think he's. I don't know. Listen, he's probably 20-1 because he's not going to run. Aidan's got a few in there, so you've got to wait till he runs. But on form, he's not a 20-1 shot. No way on God's earth is he a 20-1 shot. Now, he's got a lot of twos and threes and zeros by his name, but there's been reasons for that. There's been reasons for that. He ran in America twice. For example, let's not forget he was third in the Arlington Million. So it wasn't like he was running terribly out there. Didn't quite get home, I didn't think, over a mile and a quarter. He was third in the behind Ribchester, and he ran really well behind Forest Ranger. I think a mile on fast ground is exactly what he needs. And if he runs, he's the wrong price.
Okay, Deauville for Tom. Anything else we're looking forward to seeing at Newbury or elsewhere this weekend? Binners, I'll go to you first.
Well, I'm looking forward to the French Champion Hurdle, actually, Maddie, just to get away from these flat trials for a minute. Willie Mullins has a few in there, York Hill, Kiliotarvik, Bacardi's, Let's Dance, etc.
Yeah, often produces a good winner that race, Watsy.
I did a special at the start of 2018 that the Queen would own a winner on May the 19th, the day of Harry and Meghan's wedding this weekend.
I remember this, yeah.
So I'm going to be eagerly...
Are you going, Watsy? Have you been invited? Landed gentry like you?
I'm not going to this one, Tom. I'm going to watch. I'm going to mix it between the racing and switching over to see them going down the aisle. But I don't know. I took this special at the start of the season, 25-1, about the Queen owning a winner. And there's six meetings on Saturday, four... flat, two
We've
jumps.
We've already said call to mind, haven't we? So there's one that could...
Oh, I'm going to be busy scanning the entries later on and just hope that somebody has entered some of Her Majesty's horses on Saturday, and then I'm in with a shout. So I'm looking forward to that, and Harry and Meghan's nuptials. And so that's another cause of excitement for me this weekend.
The many causes for excitement. Tom, do you give him a shout maybe? Do you think that could happen?
What, him going to the royal wedding? I give him no shout.
No, the Queen getting a winner.
Oh, the Queen. The Queen, no, I don't know. I don't know if he's got it. Right, I'll tell you one horse I do like though, Maddie. Crystal Hope. If she runs in the listed race at Newbury on Saturday, I think Icon flies in there. Could be a good race. Mm-hmm. But Crystal Hope was the filly of Sir Michael Stouch by Nathaniel. I've got a massive soft spot for fillies by Nathaniel. We saw one win the Lingfield Oaks trial. I think we'll probably talk about her later. Mm-hmm. Enable. This horse, Crystal Hope, did everything wrong. She pulled. She went nuts. She did loads of things wrong on the way to the start. And yet she absolutely annihilated those two horses that we're talking about at the head of the market in the Musidora. Yeah. Give and take and... High Garden. She mashed them. Now, if she wins on Saturday, I think they're certain to supplement her for the Oaks. Well, actually, I'm not sure. I say that, but they're not certain, are they? Because Crystal Ocean, who I think she might be a half sister to, I'll check that out.
Would be the biggest surprise in the world, would it, with the naming?
Yeah, by a bit of deduction there. Yeah, she is a half sister to Crystal Ocean. He missed the Derby, didn't he? After running so well in the Dante. Mm. So maybe the Rothschilds love a winner at Royal Ascot, don't they? So my guess is maybe she'll be aimed at the Ribblesdale afterwards. She's got an entry there, but I was incredibly impressed with her. And if she runs at Newbury in the listed race, I think it's around the end of the card, 4:50 on Saturday, that is the one race I will be setting my video for.
Okay, brilliant. Again, we'll go for a quick break now, and then we'll look back at Ascot on the weekend.
Follow Paddy Power on Snapchat. The username is ThePaddyPower, and we promise there won't be any boring snaps about gigs, the weather, or the gym.
Welcome back. Now, Hayley Turner, of course, was back in the winner's enclosure at Ascot, winning the Victoria Cup on rip-off. What was your Ascot highlight, Watsy?
Not sure I had one, really, to be honest. Rip-off.
That's positive.
Come on, Watsy, where were you?
No,
royal were you dining with?
No, I was watching on Saturday. I watched the Haydock stuff, some good jumping action up there. And I did see Ascot. It's good to see Hayley getting back among the winners, isn't it? Justifies her decision to give up the microphone for a while and come back to the riding. So, great finish. Zhiri Feng, what a legend he is. Straight mile races or... 7 furlong big field handicaps at Ascot. You set your watch by him. Of course, he won the Royal Hunt Cup last season. Another fantastic run. I felt Bruce says never feel sorry for horses because they don't have feelings like that. But I did feel sorry that he got chinned on the line because he did a lot of hard work and I thought he was just going to hang on and he just didn't. So that was a shame. But a great run from him. Another one.
The awesome most run. Annoying race of the season ever by miles. That was. I must have spent 4 hours. I know Riffoff's pedigree, I know his mum, I know his grandmum, I know his mum, I know the jockey, I know the trainer form, and I still didn't back him. He's a half-brother to Speculative.
Who did you back?
The fourth or Sabador or whatever it's called.
Ed Walker's horse.
Yeah, Ed Walker's horse. He's a half-brother to Speculative Bid, who won the race. David Ellsworth's got a brilliant record. Bonnie Bray was second in it, and Speculative Bid won it. And I didn't back it, and it's like 40-1, and you sit there throwing the pen at the TV and... The poor greyhound got sent into the garden. It was a disaster from start to finish, that race. The horse I love, though, was the first winner, Maddie. Count Calabash. Never seen a horse pull like that and still sprint away from its field. That horse must have a stone in hand. If it's not a group horse, I give up. It's a proper, proper horse, that. If they put it away and wait for the Duke of Edinburgh handicap, nothing will beat it. I think it's a really seriously good horse. And that would be... From now, that's the horse I want to follow for the rest of the season. I think he was outstanding on Saturday.
Endorsements don't get much better than that. Binner's Ascot highlight from you.
Yeah, Eve Johnston Horton said that the Duke of Edinburgh was the target for that horse, so that'll be interesting. Just quickly, we're celebrating racing, but my good friend Max McNeil had Acts of Valour run at Haydock in the Swinton Hurdle, and sadly he came down and passed away when looking like he might win the Swinton Hurdle. So condolences to Max.
Our thoughts very much with connections there. It was really sad.
Yeah, it was indeed, Maddie. Back to Ascot, blown by wind, won the two-year-old race there. I think he looked like he'll want 6 furlongs, and he'll be interesting in the Coventry Stakes, which Mark Johnston said he'll go to next.
Okay, I think, Tom, earlier on you mentioned that we'll talk about Perfect Clarity. She won the Lingfield Oaks trial, of course. Did you have something to say about her?
Yeah, I mean, at the start of the season, I think Nikki's publication there, The Weekender, we did horses to follow, and she was my horse to follow. So it wasn't a good day for me because I didn't back her either on Saturday. I don't know what I was doing. I was miles away. I was off with the clouds, obviously, on Saturday. I thought she was pretty good, wasn't she? She's, as I say, she's one of those Nathaniel fillies. I thought she's... The thing about her, I think she's a little bit quicker than people give her credit for. I thought she won with plenty in hand. She's held up out the back. She, you know, wasn't a great race. Don't get me wrong. It's, you know, but I'm not sure the Oaks is going to be a great race this year. I think La Ti Da or whatever it's called or whatever, you know,
yeah.
Do Re Mi, whatever they call it. That one is obviously the one to beat. But on form, and if the ground's quick, I don't think it will be because it never is on Oaks Day because they water it heavily for the Derby the following day. I think she's probably going to be the one to beat. But I think Perfect Clarity's got a good shot because judging, you know, I think we'll probably talk about the O'Brien fillies that ran at Chester in a sec, but I think she's pretty good. I think she's pretty good. I'd much rather back her for the Oaks than Knight to Behold for the Derby, put it like that.
Okay, that's interesting. 25-1 Binners, am I right?
No, Maddie. 20 from 50 after the race.
Ah.
And she's now down to 14-1. So it's a few quid around.
Okay.
A few quid around for her, yep.
I think someone was 25, so maybe I'm wrong. What's any thoughts on Perfect Clarity?
Yeah, no, I like her, and I think Tom's exactly right about the Oaks. The shape of that is much nicer, I think, to bet on than the Derby. With Saxon Warrior has quite a big stranglehold, I think, on the Derby market, but it's very open. And Aidan said this morning there was a lot of journos there today. He must have had some kind of press day at Ballydoyle, and happily, he said, he's probably going to go for the Irish 1000, not Epsom. Mm-hmm. And September is going to miss it as well. So there's another two out of the way. So it definitely brings horses like Perfect Clarity into the mix. I thought she won very nicely the weekend as well. So, yes, I think there's much more mileage in that Oaks market. There's a few that I'm interested in and, you know, a few at decent prices as well. So, yes, much more open picture to the Oaks than the Derby,
okay.
I would say.
And Binners, how did the market react to Knight to Behold's win? What price is he now?
Well, that one was 16 from 33 immediately afterwards, Maddie, but now into 14-1, so a little bit of money for him as well.
I thought you could get about 20-1 for him, which I thought was quite a big price. Genius Ride by Richard Kingscote, who obviously had a really good week winning at Chester as well. What's he not as keen on Knight to Behold? Is that just a case of Saxon Warrior being so good?
I mean, yeah, he's going to be lucky to do a slip anchor and get away with those kind of tactics at Epsom, I would think. And I was just interested in the way Aidan played last week because I think he's obviously got Saxon Warrior up his sleeve. He knows that because it's already won the 2,000 guineas and is definitely going for the Derby. So he could just use these trials a little bit, I think, to feel his way around the opposition and see what Britain's got over here. And obviously Young Rascal turned up and he won. Aidan won with Rostropovich, who I think isn't under consideration for Epsom. He's going to go to France maybe. And again, he ran one here, kind of a marker horse, Kew Gardens, probably a long way down the pecking order at Ballydoyle, probably a long way behind Saxon Warrior, and you know, still managed to finish second to Knight to Behold.
I think he lost a shoe as well.
Yeah, so I think Aidan will maybe have had a look and seen what went on this week, using a couple of his horses like Hunting Horn and like the ones we've already described, and probably come to the conclusion there's not that much for Saxon Warrior to worry about.
Mm. I'd love to see this Knight to Behold in the Irish Derby because I think he still looked a bit green and immature around Lingfield, changed his leads a lot, and it was a good ride. Tom, anything to add?
I watched the trials. I thought there was three horses. Perfect Clarity, I liked the horse that finished second in the Cheshire Oaks, Forever Together. I don't know if I don't know what Aidan said about her. I thought the way they backed her first run of the season, the way she got in trouble, she reminded me of those fillies that had won the Oaks before for Aidan, sort of came out of nowhere. But my star horse of the week was undoubtedly Rostropovich. I thought he was incredibly impressive when he won the D Stakes. I think they're not running him in the Derby because I think he's the only horse that they've got that could beat Saxon Warrior. I think they'll go to France with him because I think they might as well win the French. I think he's really, really good. Watch that race again and you tell me you cannot be impressed with him. He cantered round on the inside, quickened up and went four lengths clear. Mm. I think he's really good. The form of his start of the season on heavy ground was boosted yesterday when Olmedo won the French Guineas, and that was his first run on proper good ground. And just the way Ryan talked about him afterwards made me think, and just the style that he did it made me think that he was the star horse we saw last week. I'd much prefer him to the Vars winner or the Lingfield Derby trial winner. I think he's really good. And my reading of it, and I could be wrong, I could be a 2-2 and making five, is that he's not running in the Derby because he actually might have a chance of beating Saxon Warrior.
Wow, that's pretty interesting as they go. Before we go, you mentioned just then Longchamp, Tepa winning the French 1,000 guineas for David Simcock, of course, and Olmedo in the 2,000 guineas. Track issues here, Watsy. As we saw, Christophe Soumillon was not a happy bunny with this. Do you have any thoughts on that?
Not really. I just find French classics in general. There's a lot of great races in France, and you know, generally I do love watching French racing, but I find the classics, the jockey club and the two guineas races, I find them always really messy, and there's always a lot of hard luck stories. And you know, you kind of watch them out of interest, but I don't think I've ever had a bet in the jockey club or these two guineas races. And there's so many hard luck stories. There's horses that go over there. One I noticed, I was interested in the 2000 was Il Primo Solde of John Gosden's, because I've been watching that over here and he's kind of been in my tracker. And he's one that never really got a run and, you know, didn't really do anything at all. And it was kind of a wasted trip over for him. So, you know, you don't often learn very much. And I thought if there was one race yesterday which was more interesting, it was the Derrinstown, where the market spoke massively in favour of the Pentagon, but he couldn't get the job done. So I think that's...
Didn't go to Aidan O'Brien for once.
No, it didn't. It went to Dermot Wells. And none of the three Aidan horses won. None of them distinguished themselves particularly either, which I think just reinforces the idea, as Tom and me both said, that Saxon Warrior, if you take Rostropovich out of the Epsom equation, is head and shoulders above the rest of the Ballydoll horses.
OK, Tom, any French reflections?
I agree with Watsy. I find them funny races. I thought Wind Chime should have won the French 1,000 by quite some way. She got trapped out wide. Andre Farber, I'm told, was so cross. He didn't even go to the unsaddling enclosure because they moved it from this one track to the other track, and she was drawn on the outside and she had no shot and she only failed to get up by a head. I think she's much the best, but what I have to say is I think French racing is at the lowest ebb I can ever remember. They don't have a stallion, they don't have any owners, they don't have any tracks, the ground's all wrong. And I think they've really, really got some issues there. I think it's John Clonshaw Roger can win some runners down from down in Poe miles away, but the rest of them are really struggling to find good horses. There's very few Galileos, Dubawis and or Deep Impacts running around there. And I think they're miles behind Ireland first and Britain second. And I think, you know, they got to sort it out because we all need French racing to be back where it was. We love seeing those French horses quickening up, the Trevs and the, you know, what was that? Those Andre Farber horses, you know, Mondeur and from the past, you know, those sort of horses, they're brilliant. They're just the type of horses I love, those sort of classy French type. I don't think we've seen one for a few years now since Trev.
And Alan Lanzor?
Yeah, he was, but he was yes. I completely forgot about him.
No, didn't mean to chuck you under the bus there. Just thought, because the winner of the 2000 was in the same colours, wasn't it?
But I completely forgot about him. But I think there are. But he's you know, without being rude, he's not bred very. He's a wooden basset, isn't he? You know, they're not.
What would
bred.
You do?
Well, I don't know, and I'm scared that we're going the same way, a little bit. We're struggling with owners, aren't we? I don't know if you caught Charlie Gordon Watson on the telly saying he can't find any English British owners for his horses that he buys at the sales. And I think that's a bit worrying, because if the Middle Eastern guys pull out, we're really struggling because we've got no stallions really, because it's Galileo, Dubawi, maybe Nathaniel's coming through, but Deep Impact's going to come through. If we haven't got any owners, then we're going to go the same way as France. So we've just got to be a bit careful. I mean, obviously British racing's fantastic, diverse, great, everything else, but just a little bit worried that unless we just got to be a little bit careful that we don't go the way of France, because I think they're really strong. You know, Watsy will agree with me. It was a bit of a farce all the on Sunday, wasn't it?
Yeah, I almost completely switched off from it, Tom. I did actually watch the races, but kind of from a real detached perspective. It was a classic, but you don't get excited for those races like you do the 1000, 2000 Epsom, Newmarket, sorry, or the Epsom Classics as well. It's kind of some way off that at the moment. And you know, if we're feeling that, then I think that probably permeates through the industry as well.
Yeah.
That's really, really interesting. Bit of a somber note, but anyway, just to finish us off, weekend eye catch up from each of you. You've probably already mentioned it, but just to clarify, Watson.
Yeah, I got one from Nottingham, Pretty Baby, who won the listed event there. Really up-and-coming sprinter from William Haggis's yard. I think he's bound for Ascot next. It won very, very easily, and he's going up the ladder quite quickly. So, Pretty Baby.
Okay. Binners?
I'm going to go for Amplify, Maddie, for Brian Meehan. Second to Blown by Wind in that two-year-old race at Ascot. The horse was 40-1. Joe Fanning only used hands and heels, and he served it up to the winner. And I expect to see him at Royal Ascot, possibly with one more run beforehand.
Yeah, I chucked him in my tracker. I think I'm in agreement with you there, Binners. Tom, finally.
Undoubtedly, Shades of Blue, Maddie. She won a maiden at Ascot on Friday night. She trained by Clive Cox. The two horses she beat were two of the fastest Breeze Up horses at the Breeze Ups, and she quickened up she was really impressive. But go and have a watch if you haven't seen Shades of Blue winning the 6 o'clock at Ascot on Friday. I will be staggered if she doesn't go very close to winning the Queen Mary. Clive's done it a few times in recent year. Watsy will remember the horses, but she's really good. She has to be really good. Those two horses from the Breeze Ups were two of the costliest horses from the Breeze Ups, and she whacked them. She's by Kodiak. She'll go close in the Queen Mary, Shades of Blue.
Okay, brilliant. So throughout this podcast, we've had quite a few ringing endorsements for so many, so make sure to stick those in your tracker. And that should be about it from us for today. If you enjoy listening to these podcasts, please rate, review and subscribe to us on iTunes. Of course, on Friday, the tipping podcast will be back, so we'll see you then.
Success ain't earned, it's bought. That's why at Paddy Power, we paid the big bucks for the best tech nerds in the world to develop our new fastest ever app. Download the new app from the App Store or Play Store now. 18+, begambleaware.org.